Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a phenomenal week of content planned for all of you listeners, as we will be live all week long from the Arizona Tennis Classic, the ATP Challenger 175K event, now in its fourth iteration of the tournament. Of course, it's our second consecutive year getting to serve as on-site media for the event. And in that capacity, of course, we have the tremendous opportunity to speak with so many different players in the main draw. A reminder to all of you listeners, Christian Garin has to play qualifying at this year's Arizona Tennis Classic. Why is that relevant? Well, it's because he's currently ranked number 87 in the world. That's right. Even with all the withdrawals, that's still the ranking cutoff just to get into this challenger event. So it is a loaded draw, of course, from top to bottom. And look, I will do my best alongside our CR intern, Owen Alderman, to try and grab every player in the main draw. We will try to offer as much coverage of this event as we can, make the most of our opportunity to be surrounded by so many different top 100 players. Again, each of those conversations we do manage to secure, you'll be able to hear them here on the Cracked Interviews podcast feed. And look, the topics are going to be pretty consistent. I'm going to ask what brings each player to Phoenix, going to ask each player for their aspirations in 2024. And then, of course, we'll tailor the rest of the interviews to whomever we are speaking to. The point more broadly is it's going to be a fantastic week of content, and I guarantee you won't want to miss out on any of it. So without further ado, let's get to it. Here is another interview from the Arizona Tennis Classic. Welcome in, everyone. We are back at the Arizona Tennis Classic, and now in our interview booth is a man I can call a returning champion here to our Crack Rackets podcast. Typically, we talk to him in Cleveland, but look, he's big-timed up. He's now at a career-high world number 42 in the doubles rankings. It's our dear friend, Robert Galloway, joining us once again. Robert, it is always a pleasure to see your face. Let's just start there. World number 42. How good, gratifying is that feeling, and what has it meant to you to have been able to make this push over the last 15 months?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I mean, I honestly never thought I would be in this position. Sure. It's just something, the process I've worked towards, and it's great to see the results kind of pay off and the process pay off as well.
Yeah, and, you know, again, I always say people talk about rankings jumps and getting from slam qualies to slam main draws in singles. Yeah, that's extraordinarily difficult. I think the hardest thing in this sport is to go from 112 in the doubles rankings to like 50, because it requires, what, like 9, 10 challenger titles, something crazy like that. And again, that's some context for listeners who may be less familiar, but to have been on that grind for so long, like, what is the relief like to be like, oh my God, I'm getting into 250s, and how has that shifted your mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is very difficult to make that jump.
Yeah.
And a few players have done it just through challengers. I've been fortunate enough to get in a few slams.
Sure.
And make a couple runs at Wimby and at US Open last year, which mm-hmm. helped me kind of make that jump.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's gratifying to know that I've kind of earned my way through that process, and it's not easy, and it's been a grind, and it's taken me maybe a little bit longer than most people. But yeah, I mean, I'm just happy to be where I am, and to play more of a tour schedule has been unbelievable. It's just something I never thought I would be doing.
We haven't had the chance to talk about it. Talk me through your Wimbledon experience, because I know you tweet, you know, there's some social media, and it was very clear how excited you were to be on those grounds, to play on the grass courts. Did the grandeur live up to the hype in your head, just, and to have some success there as well? Just what was that run like?
Yeah, I mean, I always thought, like in my head, that I would be a good grass player.
I agree, 100%.
The original Cleveland days when it was nice and fast, it kind of reminds me of the grass. But yeah, I mean, Wimbledon is a special tournament. It's obviously, I wish there was more tournaments on grass throughout the year,
sure.
Personally. But yeah, I mean, those are the kind of, when you dream as a kid, that's what you, mm-hmm. wearing all white, playing on those grounds. It's such a hallowed, special place. And for me, I mean, even the first time I got in, I got teary and emotional because, like, you know, that's just something I've worked towards. And then to make a run this past year to the third round with Lloyd Harris was, and we almost beat the guys that made the finals. Yeah. So really just a special experience.
And, you know, again, you talk about it being once in a lifetime. I'm curious, is the level actually that different? Like, now you've had the chance for the past 6 months plus to play in these tour level events. I know to some extent it is a lot of the same guys, but have you noticed a shift? Or is things a little cleaner, the execution a little crisper, or is it literally just like 6-7 points of confidence? That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, like challenger level tennis in general, like it's very deep. Yeah. And doesn't matter if you're ranked 250 or if you're ranked 50, like the level is there. I mean, the top level is there. I'd say the biggest difference, and for me personally, is that consistency of bringing that top level every point, every game, every match. Because, yeah, sure, everyone can hit some of those shots, but how can you do it under pressure, no ad, 10-point tiebreakers, and that's where it just kind of, that consistency builds up.
Yeah. Have you noticed a difference in your game, personally, in the last 6 months? Are there things you've had to shift as you've made this transition? Or, again, is it just now you are in the right place at the right time and your skill set can speak for itself?
I mean, I'm definitely still improving, and that's one of the reasons I'm still playing on the tour, is because I told myself as long as I'm improving and enjoying it. And yeah, I mean, I've had to work on a lot of things, and once you get to the next level, it's like you have to take everything that you have, even your strengths have to become better. Mm-hmm. I've had to work a lot on my serve, second serve, increasing some miles per hour on that, and yeah, and just being more consistent and being able to do everything, because you just can't be one-dimensional in this game.
No, it's remarkable to see. And again, doubles in this no-ad format, it's so quick. It just, again, how quickly a set can get away from you, how quickly you can take control of a set. You mentioned that serve, those first shots in particular. I'm curious just to unpack, and I know listeners will be interested to hear this because a lot of people play doubles in their lives. What does the training regimen look like as you try to prepare that plus one ball, as you try to prepare that first volley, the serve and volley? What are the things you are doing now? Have you changed any of those drills up, or is it really just sticking to that routine, and what is that routine?
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. Like, doubles is the first three shots, really. I mean, the serve return, first two are most important, and then the volley or whatever after is... Mm-hmm. That's the name of the game right there. So we spend a lot of time working on those specific skills. I've been fortunate with my new partner for this year, Julian Cash, that we have a good rhythm working on things and working on very specific details, not even just on those three shots, but specific things within those shots. I can't give you all my secrets right now because I'm still learning them too.
Yeah.
But yeah, really fine-tuning those details and having a plan for literally every situation.
Yeah, it's like body backhand, I want you two steps left, not two steps right. Or body forehand, that's a sure thing cross, and we're going to practice that eye formation. Now, again, those aren't Robert's specifics, but those are hypothetical examples. Does it get that granular?
Oh, I mean, even more. I mean, body backhand, the ball is coming here, the volley should go there, your feet should be facing this way, your body, like it's been really, it's almost like rejuvenated my career to find some of these more nuanced things, and it's helped me improve, obviously, to get to where I am today. But
you used an interesting word, fun. Is that fun? Like, you think about tennis more broadly, a lot of people play ground stroke games, you want to play single sets or double sets, whatever it may be. I love that idea of being like, hey, we're going to work on the karaoke step. I need 17 inside out first serve, first volley combinations from you guys. Is that still a fun thing to go about?
For sure. I mean, I've always enjoyed, I mean, it doesn't matter really what I'm doing, whether it's school or anything like that, just the process of like learning and getting better at anything really. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, practice is fun for me. Like we obviously work on very specific, minute details, but also we try to make some of it fun. We play some games. We keep it lighthearted. Julian and our coach Luke, like we have great banter and just can talk to each other and let each other have it a little bit. And man, that was terrible. Like, you know, we laugh and we move on, but yeah, I mean, I'm just having fun doing all of it, really.
You mentioned Julian Cash, your partner for this season. You guys first-round winners here in Phoenix. Now you don't play till Friday, so you have a few days to hang out. For listeners who are curious, you got a practice session in singles with Zach Svida, which I imagine had to be fun. But Julian specifically, the nuances of developing doubles chemistry always fascinates me because you're two different people with two different home bases, two different skill sets, and the idea of uprooting everything just so you have more practice time together, that's just not feasible. And so I'm curious what these first few months with Julian has been like and how you guys have worked to develop that chemistry.
Yeah, well, we played a few weeks last year, won a couple titles in the Challenger Tour, so we kind of knew each other a little bit. And then, yeah, I mean, this year we've actually had some good results, but there was a period and we started well, and then Australia and a couple other tournaments, we kind of had a down period, and we put a lot of work in, and I learned a lot. Julian learned a lot about what I like to do, and we kind of took it on the chin a little bit and used that as an opportunity to get better. And now I think we're at a much better place with that. And we understand what each other's going to do, what we're thinking. We have a very open and honest communication with each other, which has been very helpful and refreshing to put it all on the table and just, yeah, let's get better from it.
I always say a doubles relationship is like any relationship in life. And I know we've had this conversation before, but is it to the point where when you are in a practice session, you know, you're thinking, hey, I know this is where Julian wants the ball to go, and so I'm not comfortable doing this, but I have to practice this for him. Like, is it that degree of sacrifice?
Definitely. I mean, we obviously the goal is to get the other person involved and taking over, so we have those conversations. Yeah. The ball should go here. Actually, I think you should be more disciplined and go there. And it's an interesting relationship to have. I mean, Julian and I we're meshed well together.
Okay.
So we can be honest and be like, you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah,
you know, versus in some scenarios, maybe with a random partner, you probably don't say anything and you kind of live with it. But for us, if we're trying to build as a team, it's been beneficial.
I love it. Like, it's what makes doubles so special. And, you know, again, looking at the ranking right now, number 42 in the world, you have the opportunity to go do some things. You got the chance to go play in South America. We were talking about this off mic, but if you don't mind sharing the endorsement on mic, how special was that environment? And should we be doing more as a tour in South America moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first experience going to Rio to play. That was my first main draw of a 500. Mm-hmm. Unreal atmosphere. The tournament was amazing. I really think there should be more emphasis. Yeah, we talked about this. Mm-hmm. Like, there should be maybe a section of the schedule where there's just South America, where they can maybe have a Masters event, and like Andy Murray said. But, I mean, it's tricky when there's other tournaments in other parts of the world because it is hard to get to. It's far. Mm-hmm. But if there was a period, maybe in the middle of the clay stretch, that would fit well.
How did your game translate to red clay? Do you like it?
To be honest, the first few years out of college, I really did not like it.
And
now I'm at a good place with it. I won my first challenger on red clay last year. And
so I wanted to bring it up. That had to have been a fun one, right? Because, again, I haven't watched you play a lot. You like that high backhand. Like, you like to smack that one down. I feel like that backhand return on the clay in particular, you're like, this is my thing now.
Yeah, like, return is one of my strengths and favorite parts of my game. And to get on clay is, I get some good hits on it. So I actually really like it for returning. And, I'm learning. I mean, it's been fun to learn a new surface. I mean, any other sport, it's all very consistent. And to do this on tennis is, it's fascinating.
Power rank the four for me. Indoor, outdoor, hard courts, clay, grass. Your preference. And do you like that you have all four to play pick from?
Yeah, I mean, I wish maybe there was a little more consistency with the schedule. But, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, sure.
I would say grass, number one. Indoor, outdoor, hard, pretty similar.
Yeah.
And then clay would be down there. I mean, it's obviously grown on me. And then, you have to give carpet. I played a carpet tournament last year, so that's at the bottom.
But. Ooh, a little carpet action? Yeah, too low. Just no fun. Yeah, you're just like, what are we doing? Static shock. Like, it's just so much friction. No, I can imagine. Yeah. Scheduling, obviously, they've changed the tour format. Challengers now offer a fewer points relative to the scale of the tour level. Has that forced you to adjust how you schedule this season?
I mean, not really. I mean, I've been very fortunate to be in the position where I am and to be able to play a tour. This is my first challenger, this super challenger. I've been playing tour events, and obviously we're trying to play as much at this level that we can because that's where any tennis player wants to be, right?
Sure.
So we got to take advantage of opportunities and give ourselves a chance to make that push. I mean, one good week at one of these big tournaments and boom, you're jumping even more. So.
Yeah, no, I that's got to be the hardest part for me is, again, the last second flights and the hotels. I would love to have all of your points. Like, I'm sure there's a Robert Galloway Hilton account that's nearing diamond status, but or maybe will be at the end of this year. But, it is so fascinating because it does feel like there are some changes on the horizon, right, in the sport. And one of the things that was so fascinating to me is looking up the statistics from last year. At the end of last season, 38 players in the top 100 of the doubles rankings had college tennis ties. And I know this is something we've talked about in the past, but that feels like more than we have had at any point in the past. And I'm curious if in your travels you're like, oh, you're a college guy. Like, I know you. And if there is some camaraderie amongst the group.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, I come from a smaller school where I wasn't necessarily playing all of these guys at that level. So I'm kind of an up-and-comer. But, yeah, I mean, we all have respect for each other. Yeah. And, I mean, I think it's helped a lot. I mean, the average age of doubles players specifically has risen. I mean, we have Bops at number two in the world now, 40, whatever he is.
Yeah. And,
I mean, it's great. I mean, you can make a career doing this and make a living. And so it's where I want to be.
No, I can only imagine. Is it surprising you that it feels like college tennis is becoming more prevalent? Obviously, you have a guy like Fonseca who he's not going to Virginia anymore, but he went from winning a junior slam to committing to Virginia right away. Obviously, I mean, you can point to all the examples right now. Shelton, Navarro, et cetera, these players are coming from college and having immediate success. Is there a buzz in the locker room? Like, does it ever come up like, hey, maybe I should have done the college pathway if for some of these guys who are out here, or do you get questions about it at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of guys that maybe didn't go maybe have some regrets. I mean, obviously it depends on where in your career, where you're at, what you're playing.
Sure.
I mean, if you haven't necessarily made it to the top of the game, maybe you regret it. I mean, I've always said, I mean, we have conversations all the time. Yeah. Like if you're not top 200, top 250 right away and you're not in slam qualities right away, like college either for a year. I mean, obviously I had four great years, so
yeah.
I think it's a great pathway. I mean, it's obviously the landscape is changing with
sure.
NIL and unfortunately, the little guys like Wofford and stuff are struggling because, I mean, yeah, it's a tough playing field. But
sure.
I think it's obviously a great pathway. And then obviously on top of that, education is so important, mm-hmm. right? I mean, to have a backup plan. And I mean, tennis, as well as you play, if you play forever, I mean, you still have to do something after, right?
Sure.
And you have to be well-versed. And it just helps grow up as a person. So.
Yeah. You mentioned Wofford. They built the new facility, right? It's open. It's up and running. I know I've seen the videos. Have you got the chance to go?
I have not.
It's on the list.
Yeah, the new locker room. Everything looks fantastic. Yeah. They're actually very fortunate. They just named the court one after me.
Really? Yeah. Robert Galloway Court. You're too young to have a court named after you. Let the record show.
Oh, I feel nice and old. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Wofford is my second home. Mm-hmm. Rod Ray has been a great coach, great friend, ambassador, and yeah, I mean, I love every experience there.
That's unbelievable. You have Robert Galloway Court 1. That's really, really cool. It's just like, that's one of those things you put on the bucket list, right? Of something you hope to accomplish at the start of your college career. You know, you and Julian now, as you mentioned, a couple of Challenger titles at the end of last year. You guys made, what, quarters in Rio? I want to say something like that. It was a win-loss scenario.
Yep.
Did you play the Tsitsipas, right? Was that Rio or is that a different one?
That was Acapulco.
That was Acapulco. How was that experience, by the way?
That was great. I mean, cool to play a top player.
Yeah.
I played him when he was about 16 and lost. And so to get him at a 500 is special. And anytime you can play a top guy, you kind of want to prove yourself a little bit.
That serves a little different, right? Just the way it comes off his racket.
Serves a little different. I mean, I did get a good break point in there on his serve, taking him on the baseline, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it's really cool to see where your game is at and to test it against the best.
Well, with that in mind, what are the goals for you and Julian this season? You mentioned it's a partnership you guys are hoping to do for at least the duration of this year. Where are you guys headed after this? And, again, ranking-wise, you're already at a career high. What else do you want to accomplish here this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tricky conversation. I mean, we obviously want to be in every Masters event and get in pretty much any tour event that we would like to play. You know, that's the goal. Obviously, want to keep winning a few more titles. That would be a huge bonus.
Yeah, sure.
And, yeah, I mean, just continue to grow and feel better as we play. I mean, I'm not someone that's necessarily saying I want to set certain goals.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to see what we can do, and as long as it's process-driven, then let's see how far we can take this, and this partnership's been a great start.
Yeah, my last question for you, you know, you are over 30 now. Believe me, I've had this with Kruger and Kudlin. I'm like, we're not that old. Like, I don't like this. Like, when did this happen? We used to be the young guys on the rise, and we ain't that young anymore. But have you even started to think about a window after tennis, what that might look like? Because talking to you and being around you, I mean this sincerely, you feel like you are still youthfully exuberant about this sport. Like, it still feels fresh on you. I'm sure there are moments where you're a little bit calloused, and obviously the process of it all wears you down. But, like, I don't see any inclination from you of stopping anytime soon. I'm just curious if I'm onto something.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was periods when I was playing Challengers. When I won my first Challenger, I was playing for jobs.
Yeah.
Even at some point last year, man, I don't know if I'm going to keep going. I mean, I love it, but it's just not necessarily going the way I thought it was. So, yeah, I mean, as tennis players, there's always up and downs.
Sure.
I mean, I'm a realist. Like, I know tennis won't last forever. And, I mean, I've always been thinking what's next.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have so many different pathways I'd like to do, but I mean, that's, I don't want to bore you with that.
No,
but
please, in or out of the sport?
I could see myself doing a little bit in the sport, but also can see myself in other pro sports,
sure.
or just kind of like different like advocate programs for athletes in general and things like that. So.
No, I look forward to seeing that chapter whenever we get there. I'm hoping we still have at least another half decade. Like, I can't be coming to Cleveland and you're not there again. Unless you're, you know, fresh off an Australian Open title. That's going to be the one rule.
I need to make Cleveland my last tournament, whenever that is.
That's a great... You know what? They'll give you a retirement ceremony. Like, do you know I legitimately got the question, like, do you know where Robert is? And I was like, yeah, he's too good for us now. Oh, I just want you to know he's aged out and, you know, again... Through all of it, I've joked about your age, but from the start here at Cracked Rackets, you have been a supporter of us, and we sincerely appreciate that fact. And to see you be top 50 now, to see all this success, it's been really cool on our end, and I can only imagine how cool it's been on your end. So, Robert, always a pleasure to get a chance to chat. Good luck to you moving forward, and good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, and thanks for all you do for tennis. It's amazing, and even for college tennis as well. Thanks.